Let's go. Hi, I'm Younes, and I work for SNCF Réseau and the OSRD project. So, standard disclaimer, the opinion in this presentation are my own, and not those of the OSRD project, SNCF Réseau, or the Open Rail Association. So what's OSRD? It's a railway design toolbox built around microscopic simulation. So it allows to perform operational studies, and also to find last minute paths through the infrastructure without creating any new conflict. It's licensed under GPL V3 and funded by SNCF Réseau, the European Union, and the French state. So, a short signaling primer. The main goal is that trains do not crash into each other or derail. The problem is trains are very hard to stop. They take a very long time to slow down, and they need to know that they should slow down very much in advance. To do that, we use signals, and in order to actually use those signals, we need to know where the trains are. So for that, we use track circuits and axle counters, but basically we divide the infrastructure into zones, and in each zone we can know if a train is there or isn't there. We call the space between signaled blocks and the block detection zones. Another thing is that train must not go over a switch that isn't set for them. So for that, they need to have actually an itinerary through the infrastructure. We call that a route. And the route needs to be established, which means that the switches must be locked in place before a train can pass the signal at the start of the route. So, for example, this is using BAL signaling, which is the French main signaling system. So here we have a train, and behind it, this route is set. So you have one red light, one yellow light that signals that this is a red light, and then it's okay, it's a green light. But up above, the route isn't set, this switch is dangerous. So there is not only one red light, there is two red lights. This means that under no circumstance, a train must pass this signal. Here, a train can pass it, but very slowly. So we have a number of challenges. Every European country has its own signaling system, and actually multiple. And there is standardization, which is called ERTMS, which is actually three levels of signaling system, and even more complicated than that, but it's not widely deployed yet, and it probably never will be, because nobody's going to upgrade an old line for no reason. But we need to cover every single one of those cases, so for us it's just another standard. We also need to not simulate the infrastructure every time we make a small change in a train, for example, departure time, or in Forest TDCM, for example, it uses an ASTOR through the graph of time, space, and speed in order to find the path that doesn't conflict with another train. And every iteration of that ASTOR, we cannot simulate the whole infrastructure. It would just won't scale. So we need to be able to model the capacity needs of a train while only simulating it. And also, most of the applications should not have 50 implementations of everything because there are 50 signaling systems. It should be very much abstracted. So our approach is that signaling systems have a very restricted view of the infrastructure. They only see a signal only see in front of it, and it see a linear path until the next signal. So they see the state of the zones they protect, and they also see the state of the next signals. We give them other metadata, such as the speed of the approaching train or the kind of train. This is useful in some special cases. And we also separate the concept of signaling system, such as BAL or ERTMS, and signaling driver, which is the actual code that implement the behavior of a signal. For example, yeah, so yeah, that's it. So they depend on the output and input signaling system. So for example, here we have the a ball signal that's followed either by a TVM signal or by a ball signal also. And we have two drivers, so two modules that handle every ball-to-ball signals and every ball-to-TVM signals. And we inject ball parameters because this is actually a ball signal since the actual lights are using the ball signaling system. So from that, we can actually feed along the path of the train the state of the presenting signal here, get a state and feed it forward. And we have signaling. But there is a number of problems with this. It's very cool. But as you can see, the actual signal reacts after the passage of the train, which is quite normal because that's how it is in the real world. Our problem is actually trains need to see green before them. Their actual needs are before them and not after them. They don't really care. And we linearize the path. But what is the path of the train that follow our train? We don't know because, as we said earlier, we are simulating each train alone. So we need to model the capacity requirement of a train, but only knowing this train path. So why do train conflict? Either they are following too close to each other, in which case they need the zone in front of them to be free, or they have incompatible routes, which means that they need the zone before them to have some specific switch configuration in order to proceed. There are other reasons why train conflicts, such as power delivery needs and many other reasons, but we don't handle those and they have nothing to do with signaling. So what's the spacing requirement? We have a zone, a begin time and end time. It's quite simple. For a route, we have a set deadline, which is the begin time. We have the on the actual switch configuration. So for in order to set a route, you need to have to know in which direction you're going to traverse the zone and what is the switch configuration you traverse it. So how do we get this? Every time a train encounters a signal, we start by assuming the zone in front of the signal is occupied. And we probe the infrastructure linearly until that signal becomes green again. Then we know that all the zone where the signal wasn't green basically are part of that signal requirement, and we can adjust the begin time of the zone to match the time at which the train saw the signal. And every time a train leaves the zone, it doesn't require it anymore. In terms of routing requirements, most of the parameters only depend on the path of the train. So if we go earlier, the route, the traverse zone, the detectors, which basically indicate the direction in the zone, and the switch configuration only depend on the path of the train. We know that. We're simulating the train. But in order to find the setting deadline, which means we need to know which signal protects the entry of the route. And not only that signal, but the signal before it. Because, as we saw, trains see can be impacted by signal before the actual protecting signal. So basically, we probe in the other way. So we set all the zone in the route as incompatible, which means that the route isn't set. And then we iterate through the signals until we find a signal that's green. Good. So now for a train, we have its conflict and spacing requirements. And the good thing with those is they are indexable by zone. So we can simulate every train once and then keep a database of each requirement, and we simply need to check for every zone. if all the requirements match. So the spacing requirements are never compatible if they overlap, and the routing requirements are compatible if they go in the same direction and have the same switch configuration. And if we had a new train, we only need two checks. It requires an And same thing in the ASTAR of STDCM. If we had a train, we only need to check that the new zones that are traversed by this ASTAR iteration are actually conflict-free. So in the future, we want to implement TVM support. We are actually in the process of doing that, and it should be done by the end of the month. Yeah, we want to implement support for overlaps. The main problem is France doesn't use overlaps, which basically are zones that must be free after the restricting signal in case the train doesn't stop there. France doesn't use that, but for example, Germany do. And we do not have any German on the team, so... And the same thing for other countries' signaling systems. We want to implement those, and the contributions are very welcome. There's also moving block support, which basically is ERTMS V3, yeah, level 3. In order to implement those, we probably need another model specifically for moving block systems. Thank you for listening. Do you have any question? Thanks.
Another one?
Yeah. You mentioned the different signaling systems and the different operational rules in one of your last slides. Can you make this quite flexible, or, as you said, the implementation of TVM is a manual coding of the respective?
Well, it's a manual coding of basically the signaling system and the driver. So the signaling system, it is quite simple. It's basically, it's not actually a JSON file, but it could be. So it's just declaring what properties the signal may have. And there is actually code to check when we actually construct the blocks that they are correct. So basically sanitization of user input. And in order to make the driver, you just decide what are the possible transitions for your system. And you implement those. It's basically one function class. So it's actual code, but it's quite simple.
So the when you do the route planning, you know, of course, what routes the trains are supposed to take at what times. But I can imagine that the train will occupy a zone for a short time, and then the other will have to wait a little bit for, you know, for that to become available.
Yeah, actually the...
So there's an optimization problem there, like what order do we do? So does the system, how does it tie in with the actual timetable planning?
So the timetable planning in operational studies are done manually. So, because the people doing operational studies actually do this manually and want to do this manually, for now. And in the case of STDCM, we cannot change the path of any train because they are already solved. So we cannot we can make a new train, but it must not interact with any other train.
So essentially, this gives you a yes or no.
Yeah, it gives you a yes. It's possible, and this has this is the fastest path.
Again, for now.
For now, yeah. Well, but this was a challenge to integrate in the design. But for now, it's not a challenge. It's just a developer bandwidth.
Does the conductor of the train see some kind of nice map that they can see how fast they can still be going? Or do they just see the green light, red light, orange light, double red light? and they just kind of react to these very basic signals.
So on BAL signaling, they only see the green light, white light, etc. Mm-hmm. On TVM, it's actually a cab signaling system. So the driver see in the train what speed it should be, he should go.
Yeah.
But yeah, on BAL, I don't think.
There is no. For now, there is no connection, so the driver just look outside the window and see what he has to do. But yes.
What challenges do you have now, or how does this simulation help in case of delays and dynamically reallocating paths or timetables where the delays are happening in a cascade?
So we do not currently support any dynamic simulation, but we plan to. Yeah. And well, in order for dynamic simulation, you pretty much have the same constraint and simulating signaling. You need to simulate it to actually simulate what state it's in at any point, but you also need to know the resource needs in front of a train.
So these equations are for now resolved manually, like from the control center?
OSRD actually is not used in real operations in real time for now. So I think at SNCF most of it is done by experience of the regulator.
Just one last question, maybe short. Yes, please.
What's the safety requirement on the cab? Is it still full?
No.
Thankfully, it's not still full.
No.
The safety requirement. That's it.
Thank you.